The median sales price of a home in Q1 of 2024 was over $420,000. I know for many of you, homes sell for way more than that where you live. The great news is that there are plenty of places where you can buy properties with good cash flow in great areas for $100,000 or less. I'm coming out with a free training in a few weeks that's going to teach you exactly what you need to do to invest out of state successfully. And you can watch it at your own pace. In the meantime, I have two free resources that I want you to download today. The first is a remote landlord's toolkit. This toolkit is going to empower you to overcome the concerns that you have about managing rental properties remotely. The second is a creative financing playbook. This is going to provide you with proven strategies to finance your real estate deals. You can find the links to these resources in the description of this episode, or you can go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and hit the resources tab. So be sure to download your free resources today. I mean, it's free, right? You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. Download your guys today.
Excuse me. May I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 221. Before we get into this one, make sure you subscribe, follow the show wherever you're listening, and leave a rating and review. I look forward to hearing from you. All right, so let's jump right into this episode. So there's a lot of people out there, maybe you listening, who believe the lie, in my opinion, that you need 20 to 25% down to buy a rental property. A lot of people also believe that you have to invest where you live and that beginners can't use strategies such as creative financing to buy rental properties. In this episode, I'm going to address each of these lies and I'm going to show you several creative strategies that you can use today to get started or continue to move forward on your real estate journey. And then I also want to clear up some misinformation that I've seen online about one of the strategies that we're going to discuss today. So make sure you listen to the whole episode so you can get that part of it too. All right. So the first strategy is partnership. Again, a concern many of you have listening is that you don't believe that you have enough money to actually buy a property. Now, what if I told you that you don't actually need all the money? And there's a lot of benefits of partnership. We're going to talk about a couple of those today. So the first thing is that it can help you to share the risk with one business partner or several others. And the other great thing is that partnerships can be structured in a variety of ways. And it really depends on what works for all the partners and what terms and all those things will be a win-win for everybody. So let's break down an example of what this could look like to make it a little more real for you. So let's say you need $25,000 for the down payment and closing cost on a property. You bring $10,000 and your friend brings $15,000. And so this means you put up 40% of the funds and your business partner put up 60. Now you can go ahead and acquire the property. The next thing that you'll want to figure out is what are the responsibilities? You'll have to decide things like who will manage the finances? When will there be distributions of rental income to the partners? Who will work with tenants or the property managers? What's the process going to be if somebody wants to be bought out or wants to leave the partnership or adjust it in any way? My recommendation is that you don't figure these things out on your own. You don't structure and put together these contracts on your own. I strongly recommend that you consult with a lawyer to ensure the terms work for both sides. It'll be worth the money and it'll be worth the time investment as well. I also don't recommend doing business with complete strangers. You should consider people who you know, like, and trust. If you've been paying any attention, unfortunately, over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of scamming within the real estate space, in particular in the Black community, but it's not just limited to the Black community. Scams happen all the time within real estate. And so anyone who is making something look too good to be true, it is, right? There's nobody who's going to make you rich overnight. There's nobody who's going to, I think it all boils down to that. There's nobody's going to make you rich overnight. Building wealth is something that you do over time and you have to be patient and be consistent over time and you can get there. But anyone selling you a dream is not somebody you should partner with. All right. So let's go back to the example that we were talking about. In this example, you own 40% and your friend owns 60%, right? Let's just pretend that that is this the scenario and that's what you both agree to based on what you put in. If the net rental income, meaning after all the expenses are paid, is $1,000, then your share would be $400 and the business partner would get $600. Hopefully that makes sense. That's one way that you can put a partnership together. And you can find potential partners through many ways. You can find them through networking with investors at meetups and building relationships. Or you can reach out to your friend group and let them know, hey, I'm planning to invest in real estate. Just drop it in the group chat. See who's interested and anybody who's interested. You know, you could have a side conversation and just start building and just talking about what you want to do, seeing if they are interested, seeing if you think it might be a good match to work together. All right. So let's check out a real life example of how partnership worked out over the long term for a group of four Black women. You may have heard about this story, but there were four Black women who purchased a 6-unit building in 1986 for $75,000 in Washington, D.C. They're actually planning to sell it now. At the time when they bought the properties, they were all earning less than $15,000 a year, but they were able to get some assistance through the government and a local nonprofit. And they've been in the neighborhood for almost 40 years and they decided to sell the building. So a realtor shared in the article I was reading that other properties that are similar have sold for more than $1 million. And there was even one that sold for $2 million. And this is great, right? So three of these women plan to move into a senior housing facility and one of them plans to buy a house in Maryland. So this is just one example of how partnerships can work. In this scenario, four of them bought the house, and I believe there were two other people who contributed to buying the property who no longer lived there. But, you know, what they did is what a lot of us really should consider these days with our friends, family, whoever, because things are getting expensive, especially in these larger cities, right? So you think about, you know, your coastal markets, right? You think about California and the cities up and down California. You think about Washington State, Seattle, places like that. Think about New York City. Think about Miami. Families and friends should consider going in and buying buildings together and maybe all qualifying for the mortgage, putting your piece in, and perhaps there's some units to rent out as well. But we're in a season in which it's going to be important to be creative, all right? So keep that in mind. The next strategy is one that I don't see a lot of people talking about, and it's actually the only reason that I was able to buy my first out-of-state property. The second strategy is using your retirement account to invest in real estate. So when I first started investing in real estate, I knew for a fact that I was not going to be able to save enough money from my job to buy a property anytime soon because I just simply wasn't making a lot of money. And I was able to actually borrow up to 50% of my retirement account balance and pay myself back with interest over 5 years. The monthly payment at the time was affordable for me, so I did it and I got the money. The other option I had was to withdraw all of the money, but at the time I did not want to do that because there was a huge tax penalty associated with that. Again, every retirement plan is different. However, here is an example of how this could work out. So let's say you borrow $20,000 from your retirement plan at 8% interest and pay back over 5 years. Your monthly payment would be about $405. Now, the amount that you need as an individual or that you have available in your account, of course, this is going to vary from person to person. However, this is just an example of what this could look like. I recommend only considering this if the payment is affordable for you. So let's say you have $50,000. And if you borrowed half of that, you wouldn't be able to afford those payments. Maybe you look at a lesser amount, or maybe you look at another way to generate to get that money. But I would only explore this and I would only act on it if you have a plan and if you can easily afford that mortgage, all right? Like I said, doing this helped me to buy an out-of-state property and it actually improved my timeline. It helped me to do it 1 year faster. Okay, so the last strategy we're going to talk about is one that many people have misconceptions about. The next strategy is seller financing. So for those who don't know, seller financing is a real estate agreement in which the seller handles the mortgage process instead of a financial institution. So instead of applying for a conventional mortgage, the buyer signs a mortgage with the seller. Before we get into specifics, we have to talk about some misconceptions about this strategy. The first is that many people believe these opportunities can only be found off market, meaning that you can't find these deals on Zillow, Redfin, etc. That is false. You actually can find those online. And I recently had a great conversation with Isla Corcoran. You may have heard it, you may not have. She did a great job addressing that and what it can actually look like and how she found a property to seller finance. So let's hear from her.
So that's how I did it. I just reached out to the agent and I got more information on how legit, I guess, the opportunity was, because there's always that concern of like, how are we really going to do this? How is this note going to be recorded? Who am I sending these payments to? You know, how is this all going to work? What qualifications do you have? And after review, it made sense. And again, the terms were 10% down, 10-year loan. Seller carries the note. The deed transfers to me. It's a regular closing like it would be in any other transaction. I just don't have to pay PMI and get to do it all directly with the seller.
So I was looking on Zillow out of curiosity in the market I invest in, Dayton, Ohio. And I simply put in the search term, seller financing, creative financing, for sale by owner. And with one of those terms, I was able to find a property where it specifically said the seller is open to creative financing, right? So you can find these deals on the market, okay? So now you're probably wondering about the paperwork that's needed. Again, a fantastic conversation with Isla recently, and she did a great job of explaining that as well. So let's hear from her.
So similar to any other real estate transaction, instead of signing all those pages of lender paperwork, it was like a lot shorter, and it was still essentially saying the same thing, but just between me and the former owner directly.
Love it. Love it. And what was the interest rate on that?
The interest rate, I believe, was 6.75. Okay. So it was market interest. I bought it in January. So it was within market, but the good thing is it's a 10-year note. So the value I saw there was it's a shorter period of time, shorter amortization schedule, which means a shorter schedule for me to start paying off interest and then slowly paying off the actual loan. And I was given the option to refinance at any point, which was a large question mark that I had in the beginning, just to make sure that I would not have a prepayment penalty and I would be able to refinance if I had a more favorable rate or wanted to.
All right. To recap seller financing, let's look at an example. So let's say that you are purchasing a property for $100,000 and you're putting down 10%. So you're putting down $10,000. Your interest rate that you negotiated with the seller is 8%. And for the first year, you're only paying interest. So you're not paying interest and principal for the first year. You're only paying interest. And the second year is when you'll start paying principal and interest. The next thing is the balloon payment, which means when the entire balance is due is in 10 years. One exit strategy that you can use is to refinance the property at that time or before in order to pay off that loan. Again, there are many other exit strategies that you can utilize with seller financing, and refinancing the property is one of them. There are so many ways you can structure this, and you also have to take into account things like property taxes, insurance, etc. However, I hope that this painted a bit of a picture for you for what this could possibly look like. So now I want to get a little personal with you. If you live in an expensive area that you can't afford, pay very close attention to this next portion. So I've been investing out of state for nearly 5 years because where I live in California was simply way too expensive. And unfortunately, it still is. And to be honest with you, I almost gave up until I found out about the opportunities in other cities where I could actually generate great cash flow at an affordable rate in thriving areas. Now, many folks online will tell you that you should only invest in big cities with millions of people living there, or that you should only invest where you live or within a drivable distance. I see this every single day, and I'm here to tell you all of that is false. And I'm saying that as somebody who invests in Ohio from California. So I'm not saying this in theory. I'm saying this because I actually do this every day. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. You simply just need the right information and a plan. So in a few weeks, I'm going to be releasing a free training that you can watch at your own pace, talking about investing out of state so you understand exactly what you need to do if you are somebody who lives in an area where you simply cannot afford to buy a property. So in the meantime, you can go to the link in the show notes to download my free toolkit. It's called the Remote Landlords Toolkit. I just released it and it'll give you an in-depth explanation of what it's like and what it takes to be a landlord from a distance. All right. So thank you all so much. I really appreciate you listening to this episode. Definitely make sure to subscribe, follow the show wherever you're listening, leave a review and a rating. It'll take you like 10, 15 seconds and I cannot wait to hear from you. All right. Thank you all so much. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade or at least grab an extra latte after getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.